Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we could be in your house this evening. Thankful that we can sing songs of praise to you, Lord, that we can worship your name. We give thanks to you for all the many blessings that you've given to us, you've allowed to exist in our lives, Lord. And we thank you now for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his work upon the cross. We pray that you'd be in our midst tonight. We pray that you'd speak to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm thankful to be here, probably for I don't know how many years. Jeremy has asked me to speak on this Thanksgiving service. And for many reasons, it didn't work out for a long time. So that's one thing I'm glad to be in front of you this evening. So Thanksgiving generally is looked at by all of us as a time of reflection and a time when we can share the many things in our lives that are maybe going on or the things that are positive, right? Things that we might see as joyful. It's a holiday. It's time off work. It's time off school. It's time with family. It's time with friends. You know, there's a lot of real positive things that we think about. So I'd ask, is there anything different about this holiday for you based on your beliefs? Usually people know what we believe or how we believe in things based upon how we react to situations and the different situations that come up in life and kind of how we deal with them. So how do you show your faith normally? How do people know maybe what your beliefs are? Some people might be real vocal about it. They might be open to sharing the gospel. They might be open to witnessing in particular situations with different people. Others may wait for particular conversations to come up, chances to share maybe a particular political view or something about a current event and what they think of that. And others might just say, don't, I'm going to keep my mouth quiet and I'll let people see how I live. So there's what you say and there's what you do. And we know those things don't always line up. But when it comes to being thankful, I thought that most of the time, it's more often what we say than maybe what we do. At least that's what comes to mind for me. In terms of doing something and showing thankfulness, it could be doing your best, maybe at an opportunity that you've been given. It could be giving back, volunteering, helping somebody out, showing thankfulness in that way. Most often, though, I think about it's what we say, maybe how we talk about other people, how we talk about things going on in our lives, even how you react to opportunities that you've been given and being thankful for those things or not. Some people like to talk about the school opportunity that they've been given or a job situation that came up or even something new that they were able to get and express thanks in that way. So generally at Thanksgiving, everyone takes time to share what they're thankful for. And generally those fall into the category of the positive, the good things of life. That's the typical side of Thanksgiving. So what came to mind for me in the past few weeks, I was actually reading a book about a gentleman that had passed away from cancer. Obviously, was dealing with that. And he wrote about the situation. And as he was talking about holidays and kind of how he was going through them towards the end of his life, that's what I kind of was on my mind as I was thinking about maybe what to say tonight. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of the other side of things we should be thankful for, and that's the things that are not as easy to be thankful for, things that we all deal with, things that we all go through in our lives. So I know I just started out saying that there's joy in Thanksgiving, but that makes me think of the same way that when it's your birthday, usually that's a good day. And when it's a sunny day, usually that's a warm, sunny day can be a good day. But it's not always your birthday, right? It's not always a warm, sunny day either. I was thinking a lot about just this season and how it started. And it started early from a weather standpoint, right? Earlier this month, we had our first snow. And the days, the gray came and the cold came. And that comes with this season, right? We're raking leaves. We barely had time to rake leaves before it snowed because the snow came. That happened pretty quickly. And it's a long season. It doesn't just pass quickly. If it were even throughout the year, we'd have four even seasons and it would be, you know, 3 months start to finish. But we know here where we live, that's not really the case. Personally, I like winter. I like this season. I think growing up and skiing, always having something to look forward to, that kind of played into it. But I know not everybody does. Some people just prefer not to go through this time of the year and wish it were over maybe before it begins. So you've got holidays this time of season or this time of the year. But you also have life events, things going on. And that's not always it's not always that bright, sunny day in terms of life events, things that happen. And sometimes this season or this holiday may remind people of those times, whether it's current, whether it's past, maybe remind people of how things used to be, what they were like before. And that's not always a bright, sunny day, is it? It may remind people of a loved one, someone that may not be with them anymore. It may remind us just being here tonight. A lot of times our church is filled, right? And half the church isn't here. And it may be for totally fine, normal reasons. It may be for some kind of hardship or reason that prevented somebody from being here. So we have a lot to be thankful for, but it's not always easy to translate everything into peace and joy. So I'm going to share a few different scriptures tonight. And we'll kind of look at this topic of thankfulness from a little bit different angle. So in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about the birds being fed and the lilies being clothed, you know, in all their splendor, clothed better than Solomon. And then closes the chapter. So verses 31, chapter 6 of Matthew, 31 to 34. Says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we're not supposed to worry, right? But we all do. Some more than others. But I think there are times and there are reasons that we all do. There's seasons, just like I talked about with the weather. There's seasons of our lives and seasons that we have to go through. Times when we have troubles and it causes worry very easily. And times when we don't have troubles, it may be easier not to, but still there are times that we think up things to worry about. I thought that when I was younger, now that I feel like I have more things to worry about, that sometimes age just helps you worry a little bit more, not in a good way. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. This is Paul talking here. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul shared that perspective from his life and his circumstances where he knew those sunny days and he knew those dark, cold days. And he speaks of contentment and where that comes from and the strength that he gets from Christ. And that, I believe, is what he shared as an encouragement, as it should be to us. So how do you do in this area of life? I can say that the times that it's easy for me to feel content are usually when I'm, I would say, focused on the right things, things that are meaningful in life. And when I'm not content, I'm usually focusing on things that are meaningless, that just don't hold that much meaning. And it could be something as simple as, I want more food, or I want the next best thing, or it could be something bigger in life. I want this career, or I want to live a particular place. But things that are really fleeting in the big picture. So a question that I asked here kind of myself, talking about this, is it easy? We probably know it's possible to be thankful in times of hardship, but is it easy? Is it something that we can easily do? I think there are many things, as Christ talked about in Matthew 6, that we have an easier time being thankful for, those things that are probably necessities, right? Being fed, having shelter, being clothed. Pretty easy for us to be pretty thankful for those things. But when we think back to having joy in our lives, and can we find peace and contentment in those times that are harder, or when we may not be as calm and peaceful as we want, it's a little bit harder to turn to the idea of thankfulness for being in that situation. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That first part about we're to rejoice, to be thankful about suffering, that's hard for me to naturally do. That does not come naturally. Paul said that in Romans, but back to Matthew, Jesus also said that in the previous chapter, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 12, he said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is coming after in the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and treat you poorly because of me. So if we were to ask, all right, so why should we rejoice in the suffering? Well, in Romans, that fourth verse, it says, third, fourth, and fifth verse, it produces a perseverance, which produces character, and that character produces hope. That hope is what gets us through days, right? And that hope is what is meaningful and things that will last. That hope does not disappoint. In James, first chapter, continuing along this theme, along these lines, verses 2 to 4 say, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So here he talks about trials. Not something any of us would want, right, or ask for. Not something that we usually pray for to happen to us, to go through something tough. And then we're supposed to consider it joy when that does come. Again, something hard to swallow. This isn't a new topic. You know, most of us have thought about this or have maybe heard this before. So I understand it's not quite anything new. And it's not an easy answer to maybe the problems of life. So what are some of those problems? In Scripture, when it referenced trials, It was more likely referring to things that we probably don't experience as much today. The famines that they had then is not something really in this country that we experience. Same with persecution, imprisonment, poverty, and even loss of property, all things that were mentioned in Scripture. For us today, probably one of the most common things that we deal with, or that people we know deal with, that brings us worry, or we see as a hardship or a suffering or a trial, would be physical sickness. And anything you can think of, from not feeling well to having a serious disease or some other diagnosis. There's mental sickness, things that go on in our body and in our mind that cause challenges, and again, are not something that we think of as wanting to deal with. Outside of sickness, we think about careers and people's professions and what they do to sustain themselves and their families. Not having that, whether through not being able to find a job or initially losing a job, that's a big stressor, right? That's kind of a trial to go through. That the last few months we've been praying for Sean Keel and his family, and just thinking of that trial that they're going through. I don't know, but I can imagine it is hard for them to be on their knees at night and be thankful for the situation that they're in right now. That is not the first thing that comes to mind, even when I pray for them. I don't thank God for that trial that they're going through. You know, we all probably are praying for him to get a job. You know, that's what we want to happen sooner than later. There's other circumstances that you may see as trials. It could be challenges in relationships, just among people. That's certainly a big area that, with so many different people and how we interact, whether it's through work situations, family situations, business situations, there are all kinds of opportunities for things to go wrong or for things to be really tough. It could be for direction in your own life or your family. It could be a hardship. You know, this list, I guess, were some of the things that I was thinking of that we might face today, or that we might see that's a little bit different than what those that were being talked to in Scripture, in terms of the trials that they faced, were different than what we may face today. But I was trying to make it applicable to us in terms of what these verses say. So these are things that happen to us. What about the things that we could or even should be doing that might make life harder for us? And this I thought of as disciplines. We've talked in some of our Bible classes about spiritual disciplines. And disciplines such as time of solitude, periods of fasting, coming up with how you might sacrifice of your time or your money or other things. Disciplines are not necessarily trials referenced in these other scriptures, but I'd say we are all easily tempted to ignore them as well. A verse that I really like in Hebrews that I think lines up perfectly, or kind of led me down this path to talk about discipline a little bit, is Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So no discipline seems pleasant at the time. And I immediately think of really anything that you learn to do, or anything that takes time, or anything you've gotten good at. And if you think back to when you first tried it or first started learning about something new, and what that was like, what that felt like. And that doesn't usually feel good, does it? It's kind of uncomfortable, and it's just not a spot you want to be in. Very easy to think of kids in that situation. Kids kind of learning anything. You know, go watch basketball games, and you watch baseball games. And as the kids grow up, I mean, they're just barely can you know, follow the ball around in a soccer game when they're real small, and as they grow, it's just kind of amazing to see the progression. But it's really hard to do, you know, something for the first time. That's kind of an easy physical example to watch. As adults, we do it too. Try something for the first time. Could be a job. You might have education in an area where you're fully prepared. Other times, you get education here, you go to your job and do something totally different. Well, what happens? They immediately say, don't worry, we're going to teach you. We're going to train you. And at the beginning, that's really tough. That's really hard. So the discipline talked of in Hebrews 12, it's not really these trivial things that I'm mentioning, but a few verses before, in verse 7, it does say to endure hardship as discipline. And so that's kind of my connector here for bringing it into this conversation. Another verse in 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Again, these light and momentary troubles, when it's referenced that way, it reminds me we need to see them as something that's going to pass. You know, we're going to get through it. It should be an encouragement. But when it doesn't feel light and momentary, it's really hard to get through. I was trying to think of an example of how that can happen when something is so intense, and trying to balance those two. And it's, for me, it's very hard to do. Something physical that you might think of that's really small that can just change your complete demeanor, and all your thinking is focused on it. Physical things. You could have a toothache. You could have a paper cut. You could have a headache, something you may not even be able to pinpoint, but it just takes over all your thinking. And that, in that moment, it does not feel like it's light. It feels like a heavy burden, and it does not feel like it's momentary, because it might be lasting. There are times when that hurt, or whatever is going on, that trial that you're going through, the hardship that you're going through, it lasts. It's not quick. Students go through this, right? You think everything's going okay, and then you have something due, or you have something that comes up, and sometimes it just, you feel buried, and maybe you're working at the same time and you have to deal with that. Businesses might deal with it in a different way, where sometimes getting lots of new business sounds like a good thing, but then creates hardships and things don't go perfectly. And maybe a worker gets sick or a machine goes down. And so there's these daily trials, daily little hardships that we all deal with in different ways. A couple other verses here. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So knowing that this faith that we have produces praise, glory, and honor at Christ's return tells us that it's worth it. Getting through every day, getting through these trials, getting through these struggles and hardships. Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Again, acknowledging these present sufferings that I think we can all say do apply to us today as well. But knowing that they don't even compare to the glory that we're going to see and experience with Christ someday. So I referenced the one verse before that talked about hope. And I thought, if we don't have our mind focused on verses like many of these, if we don't know what Scripture says, if we don't understand the promises that God has revealed to us through Scripture, there's too many dark, hard, cold days to get through to be able to handle all these things of life. They're heavy. It's a huge blessing to be in a community of believers that we have here at our church. And many of us in our families, the support that we get We know that we can't get through things of life without that. And I kind of answered the last note I had about a question, you know, how do we do it? How do we get through this? How do we deal with all these things? And I mentioned a few of them, but after talking about hardship, suffering, trials, and disciplines, three final points. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Second point, trusting in God's promises. Knowing what Scripture says and understanding that he promises these things for us, this hope that we have. And finally, being thankful for the eternal glory that does await us all as believers. You know, that hope is what gets us through each and every day, each and every little struggle or trial that we deal with. So it may not come up in your dinner conversations tomorrow, but I know each and every one of you, just like me, we have trials, we have hardships, we have disciplines that we have to deal with that are part of life. And I guess the encouragement that I want to leave with you is that knowing God put those in your life for a reason, as maybe inexplainable as many of them might be, you can be thankful knowing that they pass and he's given us a hope for eternal glory with him someday. Do we have some singing to finish up? Okay. Thank you.
Supposed to turn to number 795.